Well, welcome to a Panthers pre-game podcast. It seems a while since we've had the band together because it strikes me I was absent a week ago on a beach in Norfolk. And Dan Greener, you were absent the week before because you were a bit more exotic, weren't you?
A little bit more exotic, yeah.
Yeah, and we had the legend and the honour of having a chat with Paul Ader. He stepped in for you while you were sunning yourself, and it was great to catch up with Paul Ader. But we did miss you, Greener. We really did miss you.
I appreciate that. We missed you last week.
Yeah, no, you guys did a great job, and I enjoyed listening to your output. So listen, it's a funny few days coming up, and we're going to look back at a Sunday, which was absolutely fabulous. We'll touch on Saturday, which was not so fabulous. Friday is big in Cardiff, but in many ways, Sunday, for many reasons, kids for a quid, and we'll talk about things on around of that. But the Challenge Cup game with Manchester is even bigger. To put people into the picture, basically, this is the final weekend in Group C. There is a bearing on Saturday's result, but what it does mean is no matter what happens Saturday, when Sheffield hosts Manchester, Sheffield through, of course, already, basically, it will have a bearing on what Panthers need to do. And in a nutshell, if Sheffield win that game on Saturday against Manchester in regulation, all Nottingham need is a point. If Manchester go into Sheffield and win, then Nottingham need 2 points. If overtime scenarios come into it, it does change it slightly. We won't bore people with that. So it's not a winner takes all, because Nottingham might go into the game needing a point. But what it is, it has something riding on it. And Greener, I'll start with you. I don't think anyone in the setup thought that this would be the way it would work out, that Panthers were effectively fighting for that eighth position, did they?
No, I'm sure everybody was hoping it would have been, you know, done and dusted a long time, you know, ago, sort of after about four or five games. But, you know, just the way it's gone with, you know, a couple of results here and there. Obviously, Manchester picking up some good wins. They've kind of really put themselves in a good position. Obviously, it's a massive weekend for them. And yeah, obviously, I think everybody thought we would be through by now, or, you know, we would be secured some way. But no, I mean, it kind of makes for a really exciting one. And yeah, like you said, it's either way, it's going to be a really massive game on Sunday at home.
Yeah, what about you, Jono? What do you think? Because I'm going to put my GB hat on, and I know when GB have gone into tournaments many years ago, and the heartache is still there, needing a point to get promotion. There was two successive years in 1B where GB needed a point to get promotion, and they didn't get it. The mindset of going into a game, and I'll touch with Greener on that as well. It, you know, if it does turn out that Panthers just need a point, it's going to have to be maybe a mindset that they need to forget about that, do you think, and just concentrate on the two?
Absolutely. Without any shadow of a doubt, they've got to go into that game with the mindset of trying to win it and win it in regulation. And to be fair, they've got the experience over Manchester, having won the last two games against them, that excellent 4-1 win in Nottingham, and then a really well-battled penalty shots win in Manchester in Altrincham. So, you know, they come into this game with a really good form against the Storm, but they have to go with the mindset of trying to get the regulation win on Sunday, I think.
And Greener, you know, you've been in plenty of dressing rooms, and you know this dressing room. You know, you're down in and amongst it on occasions. You know, as Jono said, I mean, we're preempting that Sheffield might win against Manchester. Who knows? But, you know, if it is just a point, the boys will be going out to win. You know, you've kind of got to put that aside, really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think in any sport you sort of go out, you know, looking to get a point. It's kind of you go for the win, and if you end up, you know, the other team plays really well, or maybe they tie it up late, then it's not a disaster you've gone through anyway. So yeah, I mean, I've never seen a coach, you know, in hockey for any team say, oh, we only need a point, so let's just go and make sure we don't lose. You know, you just use that as a cushion if you need it. It's a good advantage. But yeah, I think whether we need a point, whether we need two, it won't change the philosophy. You know, we want to beat the Manchester Storm at home on Sunday.
And just talking about the game, Jono, as a whole, that there's been a lot of people who follow us on social media will see that fans have had their chance to ask a question to the players. We're asking fans to paint their portrait. Some of the things that will be happening on Sunday include face painting and fake tattoos from our great sponsors, Young Card New Tattoo. After the game, the players are going to be in Saltbox to meet the fans and sign autographs in conjunction with the NIC, who have been brilliant for this. On Bolero Square, before the game, you're going to get fans are going to get the chance to play with an inflatable hockey rink. So I know, Greener, you'll be up there, shooting cage and stuff like that. It's really great initiatives because, you know, hopefully this Kids for a Quid will encourage not just current fans, but a new generation of fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the thing...
Oh, go on.
Sorry. So I was saying that the way you attract people into this game is getting while they're young. I mean, I think I was 8 years old when I went to my first hockey game, and here I am nearly 50 and still here. But it's the only way you're going to keep a supply of fans coming in is if you get the youngsters in. And, you know, it's a great initiative to try and attract some younger fans into the building. And we saw a few weeks ago when we had the schools in, and they really, really loved it, and they loved skating with the players and the Q&A session. And it's great that the arena have done all these initiatives as well, you know, something going off in Bolero Square before the game to entertain fans beforehand, something afterwards with a Q&A, but a signing session with the players.
Yeah, there might be the odd Q&A, I think, at that, Jono, to be fair.
We'll see. We'll have to take a microphone in. And it's great that there's that interaction now to attract people. It's not just the game. There's a lot going off around it. And with having the Kids for a Quid, and hopefully that will attract a lot of young fans to the building, it's these sort of things that help bring people back time and again.
Greener, if there's a goalie needed for the shooting cage, are you up for that?
No, I'm definitely not up for that. but I'm sure I'll be around there to give some pointers or to you know, help out if needed.
I'd love to fire some pucks at you.
Oh, yeah.
Shame. I mean, you'd easily save them, mate. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. You had a point to make, though, about these initiatives. It is great, isn't it?
Yeah. My thing was just like, you know, in this country, with obviously hockey not being as big as other countries, that's literally how every young British kid gets started. Like, you know, I'm sure that's when Lacko went to his first game. It was, you know, through family getting tickets or friends. Robert Farmer, like Tom Norton, all these, you know, I know for me, it was completely by chance I went to a game, but, you know, if someone had given my parents a free ticket or a cheap ticket when I was 8, 9, we probably would have gone along, and sort of the rest is history. So it's, you know, even if you get one person come out of it that ends up coming back to a few games and takes up play, and then I think it's worth it.
Maybe in 15 years, we'll still be doing this, guys, with grey hair, and we'll have a guest on the podcast who's playing for the Panthers, and they'll suddenly start talking about that day they had tips from Dan Green in a hockey cage on Bolero Square. So, you know.
Or they just got, like, a ticket for a quid and went along, and, yeah, exactly, now they play for the Panthers.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, we'll flip back now and then flip forward, because they're too linked, because it's the Cardiff Devils. Jono, Sunday, most complete performance of the season, would you say?
Yeah, without a doubt for me. Really, really good. Good three periods. I think Cardiff were on top for probably the first 15 minutes or so. And I think Dan and myself said so on commentary. And then Panthers got that bang, bang, quick two goals at the end of the period. I think 2 in 25 seconds. Completely changed the complexion of the game. And after that point, Panthers completely dominated the game.
There was lots of great things, Greener, about the performance. And this guy's been playing well all season. But Matthew Myers was outstanding. Cardiff could not get the puck off him. He was unbelievable in all aspects of his game.
Elite League Player of the Week, Matthew Myers.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, he was outstanding.
Yeah, he was really good.
Sheffield on Saturday as well, actually.
Yeah, I think he had points in, you know, me and Jono were saying, however many straight games, he had like 7 points in that week over that three-game span. But yeah, he does what he does, but he does it so well. You know, face-offs, penalty killing, standing in front of the net. But, you know, he wins his battles. He scored a power play goal. He's physical. He leads by example. He just does everything. And then, you know, he'll go stretches without getting points, because that's not really his main attribute. But, you know, then he'll get hot and he'll go three or four games and he's kind of, you know, leading the charge in all departments. But yeah, I mean, I think he's been good all season, but yeah, definitely that was probably his most standout game so far.
If you take his league points, he's leading our team in points alongside Waletzka and JC Brassard. And here's a guy who's predominantly played on a lower line. I know more recently the coach has chopped things around. He's probably got a little bit more ice time. He's not had a lot of power play time as well, which he maybe have done in the past. So you know, Jono, those, you know, putting that all in consideration, he's close to a point a game. That just shows so much about the guy that is Matthew Myers.
Yeah, leadership from top to bottom, all the way through. You couldn't have any better guy as captain of the team, as far as I'm concerned. He just epitomizes everything about what it is to play for this club. He gives everything every single night when he's on the ice. A quality player, and yeah, we talk about the supposed veteran players, thinking Mark Richardson, Jonathan Phillips at Sheffield, and then you've got Matthew Myers, all getting on in years, but still all three absolutely playing at the top of their game.
Two more players I just want to touch on before we move on. I think somebody who's quietly making a name for himself and regularly putting points on the board and showing his skills, and got to forget, he's only in his early 20s, Greener, but David Levin, since he's joined the club, is just quietly putting up the numbers, but also showing some flashes of skill that makes you realise why he got to these NHL camps, don't you think?
Yeah, I think the first couple of games, it just took him a little while to settle. Obviously, you know, different league, different style. You know, you saw sort of flashes of brilliance, but I think now he's really starting to stand out. You know, he scored those two penalty shots in both the shootout wins, and he's got that flair, that talent. And I just think it's about finding chemistry. You know, it's all of these players are good, but, you know, all of a sudden you put him with, I think it was Matthew and Sorensen on Sunday, and they just complement each other. You know, Matthew kind of does the hard work, the dirty work. Sorensen's a sort of the natural goal scorer. And then Levin does everything else, the speed, the skill. He's more of a setup guy. But once you find that chemistry, you know, everybody's individual sort of talents show out. But yeah, I think he's been a really good find. But even more so now he's almost found some regular line mates. He's really starting to blossom.
Yeah, just going back to Matthew, he had three assists on Saturday night and then obviously the goal on Sunday. And then it strikes me as well, Jono, it was a 3-4 point weekend, I think, for JC Brassard.
Yeah, four assists, I think.
Four assists for the weekend. And obviously that's why he shot up the points charts. That's, you know, that you know, JC was a standout player, I think, last season. He'll probably, by his own admission, say it's taken a bit of a while to get going. But I think we're seeing the real JC Brassard at the moment.
Yeah, he had a very, very good game on Sunday. He had a very, very good game against Glasgow last Wednesday as well. You're right, by his own admission, he's probably taking a while to get going, but he's really getting going. He's six assists in his last three games. So he's averaging two assists a game.
And defensively, not just, it's defensively he's been tighter and he's putting the points on the board.
Also plus five as well in those three games.
Wow. Greener, the net minding situation, I saw a lot of chat on Twitter. It was a tough call for the coach on Saturday and Sunday, because Jack Berry has done really well in the games that he's played while Dubose's been absent. But it's been clear from the way the rotation's gone that Gary Graham sees Dubose as his number one and Berry is a very capable number two. But that you know, I saw some criticism and said it, you know, it had to be Berry. I understand those fans thinking that Berry deserved that chance. That's a real tough conundrum for the coach, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Jack Berry came in and did a really, really good job. You know, it was four wins out of five for him. But I think, you know, obviously when Dubose's been out for two and a half weeks, he's obviously going to have to get back into a game straight away. And, you know, the big game was on the Sunday, really, the league game. So I think he did it well, where yeah, you know, if you'd have played Bury on the Saturday, the guy in form, maybe we would have won. But then if you come back with Dubow on Sunday and he's rusty, we then lose that game on Sunday. So for me, it was like play him Saturday, get the rust out, and then it gives us a way better chance to win on Sunday. But I think Jack Berry's certainly done enough to, you know, down the road here. You know, I still expect Dubow to play both games this weekend. But when we start getting, you know, the odd three games in a week and or a 3-3 or maybe a game that might be a little bit easier than another, dare to say, you know, Berry will, he's earned himself more starts down the road, definitely.
See, I was a bit surprised not to see Bouncy in the net on Sunday. I mean, you've got two capable netminders in Cardiff as well, but I don't know about you guys. Were you a little bit surprised not to see Bouncy?
I was, because Cozen played on Saturday night in the game against Coventry. So I was expecting Bouncy to play on Sunday. So I was very surprised to see Taron Cozen starting net for them. And to be fair, he had an excellent game. I mean, I think if it wasn't for Taron Cozen, Panthers could have probably put 7-8, maybe even 9 on the board.
Can't be many times I feel that Ben Bounds has come into Nottingham with Cardiff and been the backup. It just doesn't feel like it's happened that much.
No, I agree. I never really remember. But I think this year Cozen's playing a bit more. Like Jono said, obviously Cozen played the night before, but he won. And I think he played midweek and maybe won as well. I think he started like 4 of the last 5 games. So he'd obviously put a few good performances together. He got the win Saturday. And some coaches are like that. It's, you know, you sort of, you win, you're in, and you just sort of keep going. So, you know, I'm sure if it had been the other way and maybe Jack Berry had started Saturday and he was great and we'd won, he probably would have played Sunday as well. But, yes, I mean, I'm sure Bouncy, I think Cardiff have loads of games coming up. I was talking to Richie afterwards. I think they play tomorrow, and then they play us Friday, then they're in Belfast Sunday, then I think they play midweek again, and then they host the Continental Cup.
Of course. So
they've got about 7 games in the next sort of 2 weeks. I mean, I would imagine they're both going to play a number of games, but I mean, you know, I think Bouncy's probably still their number one, and if it was a, you know, a big money game, he would be in. But at the start of the year, they're probably feeling them both out and just kind of going on form, really.
Here's a question for you, Greeno, and because we've talked about two tandem goalies in Nottingham and Cardiff, it's the goalie. Dude, I want to pick your brains, put you on the spot of what it's like to kind of like, you've got a group of teammates, out skaters, who don't really battle with themselves for a start. They might battle for more ice time. But as goalies, you know, you know, one of the goalies will play in a game, the other won't, unless they switch. Is that a strange mentality that someone you have to work closely with, you're constantly in a daily battle? Is it kind of, you have to keep up that healthy relationship because you've got to work together, but you're actually trying to outdo each other?
Yeah, I think it's very important that you're, you know, good friends, you know, off the ice and in the dressing room and things. And I also think it's important that the coach, you know, every goalie on the teams will sort of know their role. But, you know, when you've got two guys that are, you know, like Cozen and Bouncy, pretty much neck and neck, it is like that. I mean, you kind of want to see your teammate do well because you want to win as a team, even if you're not playing. But obviously you want to play. And I think the healthiest is when it's how we have it, where they're very close, but Dubow is probably slightly ahead. So, you know, for the most part, Jack Berry knows he's not going to play all the time, but he's still going to play a lot of the time. So he's supportive of Dubow because he knows he's going to get his chances when there's a pile up of games and stuff. But I think it's when you get guys very, very similar, and they almost both think they should start every game, that's when you kind of get a little, you get annoyed when you're not playing. But I think with the way Panthers have it, you know, it might be like a 70-30 split, and that's probably pretty healthy for both of them. So I like our tandem, and I think, you know, like Jackson Whistle's playing really well in Belfast, and he's playing a lot of games. I think he had another shutout on Sunday. But he's probably the same. It's probably 60-40 the other guy. And but, you know, I just think having that 1A or that backup that can step in at any moment is vital. You know, Dubot goes out for five games and we win four of them, and that's huge. So there's not too many teams that can do that. So.
Very good points there. Jono, on to Friday. Kind of it's the most recent thing, you know, or the most up-to-date thing about to happen. Friday's game just feels like it's getting so close. It's a, I'm going to say a cliche here. Again, it's a big game, but it's a big game because, you know, the Panthers haven't been on the road. A team like Sheffield, I know we've not been to Belfast yet, but they've not been to Sheffield yet. They've not been into Cardiff yet and won. I felt like it was a benchmark win, what they did on Sunday. We'll see where they are now. What I'm trying to say is, we'll see, can they go into Cardiff and win the game? That's my point. You know, we'll see the benchmark now if they can do that.
Yeah, of course they can go in and win the game. Will they win the game? That's the question. Yeah. And well, you'd be, it's you'd always answer, the question.
Yeah, you'd be a millionaire.
You know, they're certainly capable of going in there and winning, I feel. They got a poor result in Cardiff the last time they played there, and there's no doubt about that. But they go in with the confidence of having just beaten that team 5-2 at home. And Cardiff have actually got a game this week. They're playing five. So Dan mentioned that their schedule is really heavy at the moment. So, you know, could there be a bit of fatigue there? Could there be a bit of tiredness? You never know. I think there's a good chance the Panthers going win. We'll have to be at the top of our game. It's a difficult rink to go and get a result in. The crowds are on top of you. It's always a full house. It's always loud. And so they're going to give the Devils an awful lot of energy. But yes, we certainly can go in there and win.
Greener, what do you reckon?
Yeah, completely agree with Jono. I think obviously, you know, we haven't had the best road records, but, you know, we've proved we can beat that team and not, you know, eke out a win. We, you know, thoroughly beat them. That will give everybody confidence. We're almost back to sort of a full lineup. And yeah, I just think, you know, obviously Cardiff now will probably have the bit between their teeth after we, you know, beat them. They'll obviously want revenge. But I think we're, you know, playing well, full lineup. We've just beaten them. You know, I don't see any reason why we can't go in there and get another result.
Are Cardiff realistic challenges for the title, do you think, Jono? I mean, Sheffield and Guildford, Coventry making the early running, I mean, I would say. You know, just looking down the league standings, Cardiff at the moment are in fourth. Are Cardiff realistic title challenges?
I think they're always realistic title challenges. They're not. I was looking at their form, and it's not the best of form just lately, but they're still a very, very good side. If you read what some of their fans have been putting on various social media, they seem to be giving the team a lot of criticism at the moment. But yeah, I think they're challenges. Look at the quality that runs through that side. They've got to be considered challenges.
Maybe can't beat an NHL team this year. I think that's my favourite ever social media comment. The Cardiff fan that thought the Cardiff team was so good it could beat an NHL team.
That will never, ever go away, will it?
Whoever you are, you're a legend. I don't know who you are, but that comment was one of the best ever. I mean, I suppose they might have had a game against my Senators, you know, from a couple of years ago. I fancy with Greener in gold and me and you on the blue line, we could have given the Senators a game a few years ago. But not now, Greener?
I think about 10 years ago, you know, we sort of the Elite League gave the Bruins a bit of a run for their money. I mean, that was obviously like an all-star team from the league. It wasn't one team, but
that was great. Jay Galbraith scored, didn't he?
Yeah, we like the Elite League were winning 1-0.
Yeah, yeah. Corey Nielsen played in that game.
Yeah, Zion, Clarkie. Yeah.
Beauregard playing, I think.
Yeah,
Beauregard. And Beauregard's coming back. For Matthew's testimonial.
Yeah, I've heard a few names. I won't say them now just in case they're going to drip feed them. But Matthew has said he's given me a good few names.
Yeah, there's still the I's to be dotted and the T's to be crossed still. But Bo is official if you've been following. And if you're listening and want to know, ticket details and stuff will be out maybe within 48 hours. The date you already know, I think Sunday the 4th of December. But yeah, Bo coming back, What a legend, legend. What a guy, eh, Greeno?
Game-winning goal in two playoff finals.
Yeah.
That's all yeah, he'll still be able to score just as easy as he did then, so I'm not really looking forward to that.
Yeah, yeah. Might you get your skates on, or is that to be confirmed, Greeno?
I think there's a good chance. I won't confirm it in case Matthew decides to change his mind, but
yeah.
Yeah, I think there'll be a good chance.
Oh, that'll be great to see. Talking of Panthers players, I just feel we should end on a bit of sad news, actually, guys. And I'm going to come to you first of all, Jono, because the news broke on Tuesday evening that the former Panthers player Brent Pope had passed away. He was diagnosed with cancer in March, and he was quite open about it on his social media. So, you know, just like to, on behalf of the Panthers and us here, send our thoughts to his wife and the two children, his young children as well. He'd moved back to North America, Pope had, but of course he played for the Panthers in two spells, and then he had a lot of teams in before taking up coaching and management roles with the Cardiff Devils. He then started a career in sports broadcasting. From a personal point of view, actually, before a lot of that, he actually, just after he finished his second spell with Nottingham, he did a bit of broadcasting with myself when working for BBC Radio Nottingham, and then later years worked with him at tournaments covering GB. Jono, what do you remember about him? Because I think you actually did a bit of work with him as well after his play.
Well, I mean, initially I remember him as a very solid blue liner for the Panthers in those two spells, such a huge presence on the blue line in defence. But yes, I worked with him at the World Para Ice Hockey Championships in Gangneung in South Korea in 2017, I think it was. Yeah, lovely man, really, really nice man. Knew so much about the game. Really talked with good authority about the game of hockey. He really knew his stuff, and he was just a genuinely, genuinely nice man. And it's really sad to hear the news tonight. And like you, I just want to send condolences to his friends and family.
Yeah, he was a big, his handshakes were the most firmly gripped handshakes of a man I'd ever known. He shook your hand with these big hands and clapped your hands in a huge way. Greeno, what I know you weren't around Nottingham at the time, he was in Nottingham, but you must have a Pope memory.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was when I was still sort of relatively young in Bracknell and he was playing in the Super League, whether you were saying like London or Cardiff, and I always remember like he wasn't very well liked by the Bees fans, but that's almost like a positive that he was sort of, you know, he was like Jono said, very solid, very physical, always kind of mixing it up. So he was always one that like, I think like the Bees fans almost really, a bit like a Rick Brabant, they sort of like love to hate him. But no, same thing really. I remember when he came in that year to help Cardiff out and he was like the bench coach for a little bit of the season there. Yeah, just a legend of British hockey, really. And he was around for a long time and obviously really sad with, you know, having two young kids. I always think that makes it even worse, you know, someone's family. So, yeah, just condolences. And, yeah, I just think good memories of him just being a really solid, hard-nosed player. And, yeah, such a shame.
And his hats. I mean, in that stint, Jono, when he was, you know, almost became a thing, didn't it? I mean, I'm sure there was one game and my brain is worse the older I get, but I'm sure he wore three different hats for three different periods. But
yeah, if they were losing, he would change it, wouldn't he?
Yeah, his hats.
Well, I do remember an episode of Cats Whiskers TV with myself, Paul and Aaron were wearing all different hats and in different cuts. We all got different hats on, but never made any reference to it whatsoever, just all the way through when that was happening. Yeah.
I wonder whether it was like generally a style thing or whether he knew what he was doing and was just up to mischief. I guess we'll never know, but but Brent Pope in his hat certainly was a thing. Probably was the early days of social media, was it maybe? I feel like it must have been.
I think it was probably around 2014.
I was going to say around that year. I'm sure there might have been a Twitter account.
I think you're right. right.
Yeah, Brent Pope in his hat or something like that. But
you'd
have
to ask Matthew, because I think he was there then in Cardiff.
Yeah. He probably would. But no, as we said, our thoughts go out to his family and friends on this day. Two stints with the Panthers in the Super League era. Just such a long time ago, the turn of the century. I think that will about do us for now. Appreciate you joining in. We got through a lot. We'll be back with you on... well, we'll try and be back with you on Sunday. We've got a lot going on with the signing and meet and greet afterwards in Saltbox. If you're listening to this, the guys will get over to Saltbox quickly as possible after the game. Got to get changed and stuff, but they will be across at Saltbox. There'll be a chance for you to have a chat with them, sign some autographs. There's going to be a pop-up shop from Ice Locker in there as well, if you want to buy a bit of merchandise. And as I say, there'll be a few of us around, and we'll try and get some of the guys up on the mic and ask a few questions. But no, just be a lovely chance to kind of have a chat with the players after, you know, let's hope is a place in the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup, where, if I'm not mistaken, we might well be facing Belfast, but I think that would be TBC. There's a bit to be confirmed before then. But thanks to you boys again as ever, and we'll speak to you next time.